Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica and Mitch Albom.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I am Mike Lupica of MLB.com and the new novel for young readers, Batting Order, which was on the New York Times bestseller list. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Sports Warriors podcast. Mr. Albom and I will be flying the plane by ourselves today. Mr. Ryan is off. And we have much to discuss. We will get to the U.S. Open. We will get to the way the NBA season ended. But we start with the trade that everybody has been talking about, certainly since February and probably since the time that Anthony Davis took on Rich Paul as his agent. Anthony Davis is going to the Lakers. He goes to the Lakers to play with the King because there was a King's ransom paid to the New Orleans Pelicans. There has been great debate and sound and fury, Mitch, since the deal was made. Did the Lakers give too much? Here's my opinion. No, they did not. The meter is running on LeBron James. They have now added one of the five or six best players in the sport. I believe that the guys they gave away in even the draft choices were worth it because of the window that they have to win again with LeBron James.
Right. In other words, if it's not the Lakers making this trade, if it's not LeBron James's body clock ticking, this isn't a good trade for any team. You don't give away that much of your current roster and that much of your future for one guy who, let's face it, I know everybody says he's going to stay in LA, but he's technically a free agent after the end of next year. You do it under extenuating circumstances, and you hinted at them both, Mike. One, you're there to win with LeBron James this year.
Yep.
You're not even interested in the following year. That may be too late. You have to do something this year. Two, they've got the same agent. And the agent is clearly steering this whole thing. And he knows better than the team knows that Anthony Davis plans on signing with Los Angeles either after this year is up or before this year is up to try to, you know, just get a max deal. So with those two circumstances, I'd say that this is one of those rare trades where both teams were kind of pushed up against it, and they both kind of got what they needed.
And Mitch, let's back up for 1 second. The door is suddenly wide open in the Western Conference, which is something nobody would have said at the start of the year.
Okay, Clay Thompson, is it because the West was pretty competitive? And Golden State had a fight and claw, and they ultimately didn't win the NBA against, Portland was good, Houston was good. I know that they are now, Golden State has now stepped to the back of the line, although we'll see when Klay Thompson comes back. But I'm not cottoning to this thing like suddenly there is a six-lane highway to the championship, and all the Lakers have to do is put Anthony Davis on, and they're in the finals. There's some other pretty good teams out there.
Here's what I'll say. Unless you believe that the door is still wide open for the Rockets, I don't, Mitch. I don't. I've never, ever seen them hoisting up the Lombardi Trophy, the O'Brien Trophy, okay?
If they hoist the Lombardi, that'll be a good day.
It'd be a hell of a story. But, I Portland may pick up somebody in the draft. And who knows how good Denver can be. All I'm saying is the champs are not only down and out, they're going to be down and out next year. Klay Thompson's not going to play. And Durant, even if he goes back there, he's not going to play next year. I believe that the Los Angeles Lakers, just with what they have now, every night, Mitch, they're going to bring out two of the best five or six players in the sport. I didn't think they'd be able to hold on to Kuzma. They have held on to Kuzma. And here's the other thing. They now have a big slot left. And they're going to go hard after Kawhi. And if they don't get Kawhi, they're going to go after Kemba Walker. And who knows? Maybe Kyrie does him and LeBron 2.0. When you look at the Lakers, and again, I don't know whether Rob Pelinka has the chops to put together the right players around them. They start off with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and they're going to get somebody. And right now, when I look at next season in the NBA, there is much a favorite for me to go to the NBA Finals as anybody.
Well, Since you're taking a very strong position that way, I'm going to take an opposite position, not necessarily because I 100% believe it, but I think it's important to just put out there on the show. It's a little bit of a devil's advocate position. Anthony Davis played with the Pelicans and got them nowhere. One time to the playoffs, that's it. The same Anthony Davis. He's the same guy. He's not coming back as some kind of much better player at 26 than he was at 25. He's that guy. Didn't get him to the playoffs. LeBron James, with the exception of his groin injury, played with the Los Angeles Lakers and they didn't even sniff the playoffs. Didn't even sniff them, okay?
Whoa. We don't know. It's an unknowable thing.
Mike, they finished way out, okay?
They didn't finish a game shy.
They finished way out.
But
my point is, just
remember where they were when he got hurt. That's all I'm saying. In fairness to him and to them, they were looking like a pretty good team when he got hurt.
Well, but my point is, things do happen during the course of a season. And now I'm going to throw another piece of evidence on the pile. Look at the Golden State Warriors. With the more talent than anybody ever had, you still need depth. You still need a team. The Toronto Raptors are the NBA champions here, not just because they had Kawhi Leonard, but because a guy who we never heard of, like Fred VanVleet, had a hell of a series. And Serge Ibaka had a hell of a series. And guys like that, you do need the rest of your team. And right now, the Lakers don't have a rest of a team, period. They've got literally on their roster right now, it's those two, Kyle Kuzma, the kid from Michigan, Wagner, and one other guy whose name I can't remember, and that's it. So you do have to fill out your roster. So I'm not automatically putting them in there, because if LeBron gets another groin injury, and he has been proven mortal now, Mike. I mean, I'm not predicting that LeBron James gets
when he's mortal. He gets a,
games.
When he's mortal, he gets a groin injury. When the other guys are mortal, they get
right,
Achilles
they
and ACLs.
Okay, fair enough. But you know, that's the start. He may miss some games. AD may miss some games. And then what happens if you don't have a roster to pick it up? So here's the challenge for them. They've got, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds of this, but I'm sure people who love the NBA have already gotten deeper in the weeds than I have. Apparently, when they made this deal, if this deal closes on July 6th as opposed to July 30th, they have $24 million in cap space instead of $32 million, close to a max. That's a big deal, and apparently it's going to happen. So if they end up with 24 instead of 32, they're not necessarily courting Kawhi Leonard anymore, because he's going to want the biggest money he can get anywhere, and he's not going to settle. And I'm not sure Kawhi Leonard's a good, we'll talk about that in a second. He's a good fit with these two other guys. That's a lot of guys on the same team. So do you use that money, Mike, for one more superstar, maybe a Kemba Walker, whoever you can get, or do you say, okay, we got to fill out the roster, we'll build around these two?
Oh, no, Mitch, that's a very fair question. But listen, I hope Kawhi stays. I'm one of those guys, okay? I think that what he, looking at the landscape in the Eastern Conference, yeah, could the Sixers get better? Could the Celtics get better? Yeah, the Bucks are probably going to get better, but they have a chance to do it again. And I wonder if things will ever be as sweet or as good as they are right now for him in Toronto. Or he may think to himself, things could never get better than they are right now, and it's time to move it on down the road, okay?
Right.
I think the Lakers, remember we were saying this a month ago, oh, wow, who would have thought that the Clips would be a better destination than the Lakers? Not so fast now, okay? Now they've got Anthony Davis, and they've got some money to spend. And you know, Mitch, how many times have we had this conversation on Sunday mornings? The money that Kawhi Leonard's going to be talking about now, between this guy and that guy, and what Toronto can pay, and then it won't affect a single minute of the rest of his life, okay? It's a form of scorekeeping. So he's holding all the cards now. He can go to the Clips. He can go to the Lakers. He can stay with the Raptors. I don't believe there are any other players in the game for him. But the question, to get back to what you just said, yes, the Lakers have a chance to say, wait a minute, we're teeing it up every night. Or, you know, the nights that LeBron and Davis aren't going to take off, because I think we're learning that that's the wave of the future in the NBA. Can we go? Do we need another star? Or do we need three really good guys and to start filling out the... Because remember, Mitch, Kuzma's really good. I mean, Kuzma is really good. I was shocked when I found out he wasn't in the trade. Because the fact is, for all the draft choices and all the Pelicans got, and we'll get to that in a second, are you sold on Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball? I'm not.
No, well, Lonzo Ball, you know, I have a hard time looking at Lonzo Ball without seeing his dad, and I'm sure a lot of people do too. And so the word overhyped keeps coming to mind. But those who are smarter than me in the world of basketball and who can see through this stuff insist that he's a major talent. Look, Mike, he's the number two pick in the draft. The Lakers also lost their previous number two pick in the draft a couple years ago. They are hardly successful in hanging on to the guys that they pick.
They got rid of D'Angelo Russell, right. And he went to become a star in Brooklyn. Excuse me.
Yeah, I think he was number two also. So, you know, you only get so many swipes at this. And I thought New Orleans did what it had to do. You're right. Kuzma's probably the biggest talent they had on that team to trade.
Yes.
But New Orleans says, okay, forget it. We're going to run romper room here, okay? That's what we're going to be. We're going to have a team that needs to get carted wherever it goes, and that's what we'll do. So they start with Zion Williamson, then they add whoever they're going to take with the number 4 pick. Then they add Lonzo Ball, who's all of what, 22 or if he's that, and Ingram, who's 21. And I mean, this is a group of 19, 20, 21-year-olds who are going to get better, and they basically assured themselves of first round picks for the next 6 years. You know, in addition to their own, they've got the Lakers first round picks. And if the Lakers are one, even if the Lakers win the championship next year, all right, and then they dissolve, and then LeBron James goes someplace else or whatever it is, they could suck again in 3 years, and that pick could be very valuable. So I think New Orleans did a very smart thing. They said, what do we really need Kyle Kuzma for in this deal if we're getting rid of Anthony Davis? We are basically saying we're going to grow a bunch of young seedlings here. Let's go for the draft choices and just continue to fill them up. And by the time Zion Williamson is 25, he'll have his pick of people that he'll be playing with, both developed and drafted. So very smart move on their part. Very strong play by David Griffin, who left was with the Cleveland, you know, when LeBron was there, and then got out of there and went down to New Orleans and engineered all of this. And I think it was a smart move by them, and time will tell if it's a smart move by the Lakers. But Mike, I'm going to toss this back to you. This all became so imminent. This all became so pressure-packed, and let's do this quickly, when Klay Thompson hurt his ACL. That was what put this trade into motion. As soon as that door opened in the West, because with Klay Thompson, they're still pretty good, you know. If the Splash Brothers come back, and if wherever Durant goes, maybe he stays there, or whatever, you still got to figure Golden State's going to be heavily favored. Suddenly, Klay Thompson's not playing next year. This trade got rushed to the front and expedited before somebody else jumped on it.
Oh yeah, no, it's amazing how quickly the dominoes fell from the time that Kevin Durant fell. Okay, all of a sudden everything starts to line up, and the Lakers see this opening. And again, David Griffin did an unbelievable job. I think he got more than anybody else could get. People said, "Oh, they could have gotten this deal last February." No, they couldn't. First of all, they didn't know
the Lakers
weren't going to know. Who knew that the Lakers were going to have the 4th pick in the draft? Okay, so and by the way, I know there's a drop off after the top 3 players in this draft. Okay, all I'm saying is we'll see in New Orleans. Now he's got to make all the right moves. You know, yeah, the Sixers had a lot of draft choices too. And some of them worked out and some of them didn't. But if you're the Lakers, let's just start here, Mitch. I don't see how you can pass this deal up. Davis is 26 years old. Okay. Did they win? No. Did they sweep the Blazers a year ago? Yeah, they did. Was he miscast playing next to Boogie Cousins when they were together there? Yes, he was. But I will say, I've said this since he was at Kentucky. I think he is as big men go, he's a transformative big man in the NBA. And now he's playing with the best team guy in the sport, unless you think Kawhi has now become the best team guy in the sport. And that is a hell of a foundation. And again, now your buddy, your pal, your bestie, Rob Pelinka.
Yeah.
No, we'll find out what kind of chops he had. Yeah, this was the big first step to the basket that Pelinka had to make.
Well, and 2 years.
I don't think he can. Can he pass this up? I don't think he can.
He can't pass up. He's got to do. As I said right at the start of the show, the ticking clock here is LeBron James. He is mortal, and his best years are probably behind him, but whatever's left of his best years are right in front of him right now. And this year is bigger than next year. There's a big difference between LeBron James this year and even LeBron James the season that follows, and certainly LeBron James the season that follows. When you start to decline, when you start to lose your hops, when you get an injury, and believe me, I know everybody says LeBron James is Superman. He's older than Kevin Durant. He's older than Klay Thompson. Don't think what happened to them can't happen to him. I'm sorry, but he's still made of flesh and blood. And if he gets an ACL, if he gets an Achilles, if he gets one of those things, that might be it for LeBron James's career. Remember how many miles he has put on that body. I mean, more than almost anyone who's ever played the game at his age, you know, because of coming out of high school and him being the superstar right from the, he never rode a bench. He was starting the minute he came into the NBA. So you have to do this now, Mike. They have no choice. They had to get an Anthony Davis, a Kawhi Leonard, or somebody. You're very right when you point out the complementary fashion of their style of play. Not everybody works well with an Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis's particular game, where he's more of a finisher than he is a starter, if you want to put it that way. You know, he likes when you get him, you throw him the pass and he just has to turn around and put it up, or one dribble and turn around and put it up. Well, LeBron is going to be great at that. And he's not going to take away from LeBron's game. Whereas, for example, Lonzo Ball was a bad fit with LeBron James. It was like, well, who's going to do it? Well, what am I doing if you're doing that kind of thing? So, you know, how they fit and who complements who is really important. Now the third piece of that puzzle, they got their front court. Clearly, that's it.
Now go to the K corner. Kemba, yeah. Kawhi, Kyrie. Yeah. The K corner, Mitch.
Right. I mean, you need a point guard. And I don't know, would Kyrie Irving consider going to Los Angeles for a year or two and playing with LeBron James again? I mean, it's crazy to think about this stuff, but you have to, because that's how these teams are formed. So do they become more attractive now, Mike? The Lakers become more attractive to a major free agent now that they have two? Or are the ego part of this thing that says, okay, well, they got their two superstars. I'm going to go to a market because I can't be the man there. I'm going to be the third man there. So I want to go to the market, you know, New York and New Jersey, wherever else is left, that I can be the man.
Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. All right, let's take them in no particular order, because Kawhi's right now, this minute, Kawhi's the best player in the league. I got a parting shot on him and all of this today. All right, Kyrie. Kyrie knows now, having been out there without LeBron, that his greatest success was with LeBron. But he's gone to Roc Nation Sports, and everybody seems to think he's going to Brooklyn, but I don't, you know, Mitch, remember about 20 seconds ago, Kevin Durant was definitely signed, sealed, and delivered to the Knicks. The hell knows. Okay, Kemba Walker to me is an intriguing guy, because he's even, I don't know why he said this, his agent probably wanted to tackle him. You see where he said he'd take less money to stay in Charlotte, and I'm thinking, Kemba, shut up. Don't like I say to my kids, stop talking now. Just stop talking.
Anytime a basketball player says, I'll take less money, .. the agent says, shut
up. No, it's like the old Sanford and Sons. You see Red Fox grabbing it. I'm coming, Elizabeth. You know. Okay. And I know that dates me, and that's okay. So now it all comes back to the guy who just won the championship. Because, Mitch, let me ask you, do you think it is essential to Kawhi Leonard to be the man? Because guess what? I don't think it is. I think he wants to win. I think he wants to win. He's now won championships in two places. And how about if he goes somewhere and is the MVP of the finals with a third team?
You know, it's hard to say because he didn't engineer, you know, that was a trade to Toronto.
Yeah.
So you don't know. He was clearly the man with Toronto, and yet he was a leader of a team as opposed to, you know, I'm going to put you on my shoulders and carry you kind of leader. So does he voluntarily leave that system? I'm looking at, you know, well, where is he going to go? Is he going to go to Boston and play with those guys? You know, basically slot Kyrie out of there and go play with the Jason Tatums and guys like that. Is he going to go to the Nets? Is he going to start all over with the Knicks? Is he going to go to a Clippers? Is he going to, you know, he's not going to Golden State if they really try to sign those guys back. But if they lose both of them, does he want to go to Golden State and play alongside Steph Curry? I don't know. Mike, he's a weird guy. He's a weird guy. So he can break the pattern.
He might not be a weird guy. We might just think he's a weird guy because he might...
He's a little weird.
Even in the modern world, Kawhi Leonard, I actually admire him because he doesn't seem to think it's a felony to have an unspoken thought in the modern world.
I like him. When I say weird, I don't mean weird for his genre. In that he's got the superstar trappings, he's got the money, he's got the reputation, he's got the trophies, he's got all that, but he doesn't behave like everybody else with all that. So what I don't know is where his ego lines up with this, but I will tell you what generally happens. When you win two MVPs of the finals, and when you win, become, you know, one of how many, one or two guys, a handful of guys who have ever won with two different franchises, your head can get pretty big. And we don't know what happened in San Antonio, if it was his head butting heads with others or if it was just something strange that happened. But I do think that he enjoys being the center focus. Now, my question to you is, I think he'd love to come back and play another year with Toronto, but does he want to sign the big contract and spend the next 5 years with Toronto?
Mitch, here's what I'll say. And we've already talked about all the dominoes that started falling when Kevin Durant fell, okay? If you're Kawhi Leonard and you saw what just happened to two huge stars in the series you were playing, I don't think you're signing a one-year contract anywhere, okay? Yeah. Right. I think you're going to set yourself up now because you have seen with your own eyes within like 50 feet of you how fragile the whole thing is.
Right. And if Anthony Davis is smart, he'll start working on that right now.
Those are things that have to factor into your thinking. When I go give a speech, my speech about sports is the next moment is the one that can change everything. Okay, that's the theme of my speech. Well, we just saw it played out twice in the NBA Finals.
So what does that mean for Kawhi Leonard then? Does he stay in Toronto?
It's so intriguing. And again, it just shows you the narrative can sometimes flip every other week. And that it's one of the things I talk about in the party shot. Now, before we leave the NBA today, okay, what did you think of the ending to the NBA season? Because I was of two minds, Mitch, watching that game. After Clay is gone, I'm thinking, okay, do I really want to see game 7 with Steph and Draymond and then what feels like a bunch of guys they met at the Y, okay, going back to Toronto, or do we need closure now? And I kind of was happy that the Raptors closed him out.
Well, the fact is, if there had been a game seven, the Golden State Warriors could have all fit in a cab and they would have been able to make it to the, I mean, there's nobody left. So it would have been exactly what you said. I might have liked to see Toronto win on its home floor just to watch Canada go crazy. Although the fact that Drake had to be relegated to a remote shot instead of being in the center was made me happy. But, you know, it was a fascinating ending to a season, Mike, and it just goes to show you that we have reached a point in sports where predictions are really a folly and a total waste of time. Nobody would have thought that Golden State would have suffered this kind of fate. Nobody thought that Toronto was going to win, not just at the beginning of the year. I don't think anybody thought that, except Bob Ryan, maybe, at the beginning of the playoffs. And things changed so fast. And it has never, and I think I saw you tweet about this, I have never seen two injuries to major stars like that in a single postseason and within a few weeks of or a month of one another that decimated a roster the way that they did. The fact that they were still fighting. The fact that they took a lead, you know, actually zoomed ahead a little bit when Klay Thompson went out.
Oh my God.
And it was in Steph Curry's hands to send that game back, that series back to Toronto. A shot that he makes many, many times.
Oh boy. Oh boy. When it was in the air, tell me you didn't think it was going to go in,
Mitch.
Oh
yeah. I mean, how many times has he made that shot? So, you know, you have to take your hat off to them. And yet we may have seen, what could have been our version of the Boston Celtics in our adult lifetimes. I know we were alive as kids when they were playing, disappear with two blemishes taken off what should have been wins. One, Draymond Green's stupidity in the series against Cleveland, getting himself thrown out of the game because they would have had that series. And two, the injury bug. And once again, may I add, Draymond Green's stupidity, because I don't care what his line said. He cost them that game many times over with stupid plays, bad passes,
awful
turnovers.
Yeah.
Considering they lost by a point, you know, they needed all of that to get in there. And, I didn't lose by a point, but I mean, they needed all those mistakes.
It felt like a one point game.
But, you know, he was terrible, for all that he did well, but they still were close. And yet, Mike, so they win the championships. They should have won five, you know, and now
should have won five in a row.
Are we ever going to see them again? I mean, are they done? Is Durant and or Klay Thompson?
Not if they both go back, Mitch.
Do you think they will?
I do.
I really do.
Trying to speculate about Durant is like trying to speculate about Kawhi. Okay, yeah. It's the whole sport is dominated by K guys now. Kevin, Kawhi, Kyrie, Kemba. Okay, so who knows? But maybe there's a thought now. Klay, you and me, we get better. Another K. We get better. Okay, we get better. They rough through next season without us, and we get the band. You know, you're a musician, Mitch. Maybe there's a thought we get the band back together in a year.
Well, apparently Golden State has said they're going to offer them both max deals. Now, that's a pretty incredible step by a team that knows that they're going to be paying, in essence, somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 million to two guys who aren't going to play.
But remember, they're selling that new arena, Mitch. And even if they tell people they got to wait, they got to put a good product in this state-of-the-art, all-world, apparently you got to see it to believe it, new arena.
But do you spend, I mean, it's going to be $60 million plus if you sign both of them.
It's like
to not play for a year?
Yeah, I know.
It
sounds like they're prepared to do that. And maybe, who knows, maybe these injuries have changed Kevin Durant's thinking. Maybe they have changed Klay Thompson. And by the way, before we get off of this game, can we just throw a little more praise Klay Thompson's way? And again, in the modern world, when I say he's a man, I'm not trying to insult women, okay? Right. He's just a great human, this kid. How about him thinking, after he got hurt, after he tears his ACL, that he's going to go back out there the other night?
He's jumping up and down in the locker room saying, I can go. And in 30 points, and he could have had 40, you know, and he would have been responsible for them winning that game. He is... he's a remarkable player. He is in the best spot he can be paired with Steph Curry. And more than Kevin Durant, he, to me, would diminish his own career if he leaves Golden State. He can't be paired with a better guy. You can't defend the two of them. You have to pick a poison, and that's why the two of them have been so successful. So I would be harsh on him if he left Golden State. Kevin Durant, I don't know. The thing is any other team going to give him a max contract and pay that $30-plus million dollars for him to sit for the first year?
I think the Knicks would do it tomorrow. That's how desperate the Knicks are. I think they would do it tomorrow. And just once again, as I've talked about this for 20 years with the Knicks, Mitch, they have mastered the art of talking about a season other than the one their team is playing. Okay. There's an art form to this in sport. They're never actually addressing the season that they're playing. My joke with the Knicks, you know, this is, you know, once they were clearing cap space for LeBron, then they were clearing cap space again for LeBron. And eventually we're going to hear that they've turned the page and they're clearing cap space for LeBron's son. Okay. Because that's their game. It's like this elaborate three card Monty game. Okay. Would they do it? Yes, they would do it. But I do think that Clay getting injured may now factor into Durant's thinking. I actually do think that.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be an interesting two-week period here, or less than two-week period, until the draft. You know, which the draft will change some things, too. I mean, who knows now with the teams that have the picks, is New Orleans contemplating, you know, a combination trade to do something else with that fourth pick, you know, package it with Lonzo Ball and send it to somebody else. I think there's going to be a lot of movement around the draft as well. So this whole early period of time here, the NBA has got to be privately smiling, even though, you know, they lost a couple of their superstars with injuries. They just settled their championship and everybody's still talking about them. I mean, you know, they're supposed to go away now. Baseball's supposed to dominate and everybody's still talking about the NBA. They're more interesting now than even when the finals were going on.
Yeah, and the draft wonks know the answer to this question. I don't know who the next best player is after the top three. You know, after Zion, right, Barrett, and Morant. Okay, I don't know. My sons who follow this stuff say that the kid who was hurt from Vanderbilt, Darius Garland, is a very attractive player. I don't know. That pick, it's valuable, but maybe it becomes more valuable if you do package it and you've got your eye on somebody who you think props up Zion even faster in his rookie year. But what you just said is true. It is a 365-day-a-year sport now. It was never like this before. It was even when LeBron, you know, when he took his talents to South Beach, it wasn't like that then, you know, 10 years ago, wherever the hell it was, Mitch. This has become the I'm sure even the NFL and baseball envy the hell out of this because they hadn't even, the champagne wasn't even dry in the visitors' locker room in Oakland before the Anthony Davis trade got made.
Well, it's a team built on stars. You've long advocated this. You know, that's what people want to read about. That's what people want to talk about. And far more than baseball, which baseball has a lot more players, but a lot fewer stars, you know, than the NBA. And the personalities, everybody knows who they are. They're well marketed. Their commercials are better than baseball's commercials or football's commercials. They get involved and you just feel like you know these guys a lot better. And then you're curious as to where they're going to end up and the fact that they are switching around and moving and then seem to have, with the blessing of the league, full control of their own destinies as opposed to the NFL, which is a lot harder, or even baseball, where there still seems to be collusion, although nobody can prove it. So it makes for a 365-day season. So here's my last question, and then we talk about golf, and it's very simple. Who wins the 2020 NBA title? Who's the favorite going into next season? The Lakers?
If you add it all up, you'd have to say the Rockets. Right now, this minute, depending on what they do, I would make them the favorite. But if Kawhi stays, I there's nothing to prevent me from picking the Raptors. And by the way, before we do move on to our national championship in golf, Mitch, I think both of us have to appreciate for the last time the job that Nick Nurse and Masai Ujiri and Kawhi did. What the Raptors did, this year, to me, is it's truly one of the great championship stories in the history of a league that started in 1946.
Yep. And it does go to show you that you can reorganize your team over the summer and win a championship with it by the following summer.
Doesn't that give a whole bunch of teams hope, Mitch?
Absolutely. Because these Toronto Raptors are not last year's Toronto Raptors, or those Toronto Raptors that always came close and then crapped out somewhere in the playoffs under Dwayne Casey. They got a new coach, they got a new superstar, a new alignment, and they won the NBA championship. They didn't need 3 years to make the system work. So hats off to them. They were tougher than I thought they would be, Mike. I never really saw in them what I frequently see in first-time would-be champions, is that hesitation of, are we really supposed to win this? Are we really supposed to be this good? It usually plays out in the fourth quarter at a critical stretch. They really didn't do that. I mean, they lost game five by a point. Otherwise, this would have been a five-game series. You know, and they were strong mentally, and they kept hitting those shots. And whether we can argue from now until the end of time, if Golden State just wasn't playing defense the way Golden State usually played defense, because there were an awful lot of moments where guys were wide open taking shots for the Toronto Raptors, but they made them. And that's all that matters. And it was a great scene and a great moment to see Canada going nuts over an NBA
Mitch.
Team. And I hope Kawhi and the parade that's going on, even as we're broadcasting this, is starting. I hope they appreciate it.
Mitch, let me just say this. Who knew that the night that Kawhi made that shot with Joel Embiid standing next to him, the ball that bounced around on the rim that night was in the process of changing NBA history.
Yep.
So, and by the way, talking about strength of athletic character, did Gary Woodland show you some yesterday?
Man.
The way he stood up to Brooks Koepka, to Pebble Beach, and to the what I always call, Mitch, the circumstances of the occasion. His greatest chance to win not just a major, but this country's national championship on one of the most iconic courses in the world. Oh, my Lord, what a performance by him yesterday.
He showed me something. You know, you and I have covered an awful lot of sports, and to get to the point where you can kind of look at a guy's face, especially where they're easily seen, like golf, and see the nerves or see when things start to, you know, shake them up a little. Gary Woodland's face, to me, looked like a football coach who was fuming at what he was seeing out on the entire time he was going down that last nine. I mean, there was no flinching on his part. Even when he was making the inevitable mistakes that happen on the back nine of a major championship on the Sunday, which we all know, you know, whether you say it about the Masters, that's the most famous. It doesn't really begin until the last nine. But it's true to a lesser degree on all the other three majors as well. And he made his mistakes, and he sliced things out to the far sides, and he was hitting in the rough. But the look on his face was, damn it, you know, I know I'm going to win this thing. And that was stupid what I just did. Now, let me get it back. And on 14 and on 17, and then finally with the last putt on 18, he did exactly that. He was I don't want to say he was tougher than Brooks Koepka, but he was as tough as Brooks Koepka. And it was like watching, whereas a lot of times you watch golf and it's elegant, thin guys, you know, with a beautiful. It was like watching two linebackers basically hash it out down the stretch, and it was great golf from both of them.
You know what? I don't even call it a game face now in golf anymore. I call it a Koepka face. He had his Koepka face on, and don't think he hasn't been informed by what he's seen from Brooks Koepka over the last nine majors. But the beauty of what happens is, and Koepka comes out and hits him right in the face by going four under the first five, and you're thinking, okay, here he comes. Gary Woodland's to seven times in his career, and not at the Open. He's had a 54-hole lead and couldn't close the deal, and now he's got the Grim Reaper after him, okay?
Right.
And then there's always a defining moment, okay? The defining moment for Koepka was when he put the ball in the water at Augusta on number 12. There are two shots that will be remembered for as long as Gary Woodland plays golf. The three wood on number 14, the par fives, where he basically said it afterwards, I'm playing to win there. Okay. He didn't lay up and he took the most aggressive possible line and he hits the three wood of his life. And then Mitch, I've played golf since I was 9 years old. Okay. You, unless you've ever had to hit a wedge shot off a tight lie, the way he basically did off the green at 17, and not only does he strike it perfectly with the nerves he had to be feeling, he nearly makes the shot on 17. But let me go back to the three wood for 1 second. He makes that shot after Koepka has just slid another birdie putt past another hole on number 15 ahead of him, which would have tied him. But he doesn't tie him. And then Woodland makes a birdie on the par five to give himself some breathing room. And then, man, oh, man, he closed like Mariano Rivera after that.
Yeah. I thought that, because we all know that they're being informed of what's going on. I thought that if Koepka, and it looked at the beginning on 18, if he could have, I didn't think he was going to eagle it, although, you know, given him, who knows.
Yeah,
but
right.
I certainly thought he could birdie it, and I think he basically chose one club too strong, basically.
Sometimes adrenaline takes over in those moments, and you can club down, okay? He didn't think 4-iron was enough. As it turned out, it would have been perfect.
With that strength, because it was a perfect shot.
Oh, my God.
Just went too long.
He flushed it.
Then you wonder, if he birdies that hole and it's a one-stroke lead going into 18, or finishing 17, then is a different kind of pressure on. Who knows? It didn't happen, so it's not important. And I thought, was there a better ending, ending than that putt on 18 where he throws his putter up in the air? I mean, you see, that's not going to go in, is it? He could miss it two more times and still win. And he drops it in.
The only thing that was bad was Rose still had to putt out. That should have been the last stroke of the 2019 U.S. Open.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a really interesting tournament. And not just for the unlike. I mean, nobody picked Gary Woodland when the thing started. We did our podcast the morning when they were teeing off to start on Thursday. And his name never even got mentioned. And a lot of the names that did get mentioned, Rory McIlroy really crapped out. Dustin Johnson was never in it. He just played awful. We said Brooks Koepka, and Brooks Koepka did what Brooks Koepka was supposed to do. And I mean, on a body of work. So I don't know, Michael, because you're the golf guy. So you tell me, in a body of work, when you have a year where you finished first to first and in between second and second, but the seconds could have been wins.
Oh, boy.
You look at that as like missed chances because you only get that close so much? Or do you look at it as like, this is part of my body of work and finishing second is no shame in golf and that's part of my greatness too?
Mitch, I'll just say this. Just always remember this about the greatest golfer who ever lived, Jack Nicklaus. He won 18 majors. You know how many times he finished second in majors? 19 times. Okay, so you could only speculate how many times he had putts slide by the hole on Sunday that would have given him 25 majors. But he always looked at it as, yeah, but I made some too. When you look at what Brooks Koepka did, I don't think he beats himself up at all. Did he putt his best? No. There was a point where Justin Rose going into the last round, I think, had taken 10 fewer putts than Koepka had in this tournament. The guy went out trying to win three opens in a row. And then talk about what Willie Anderson did 1,000 years ago. It would have been the only time it's ever happened in history, in my mind. Okay. He shoots 69, 69, 68, 68. And doesn't win the United States Open because one guy played better than he did. And Mitch, here's for a guy as strong as Koepka, it's very interesting. There are three par fives at Pebble Beach. Okay. He doesn't birdie any of them yesterday. Now he didn't blow up on any of them the way Rory McIlroy did, but across the four rounds, that's 12 par fives. He birdied three of them. And this is a big, strong guy who usually dominates par fives. And I really thought And Mitch watched every minute of this because he was drawn to it for because it was a great sports event yesterday. Mitch, yeah. I thought he squandered so much yep. momentum at number six when he hits a perfect drive on the par five. I think he had a four iron in his hand there, and he hits it short right and doesn't make birdie, because if he birdies there, who knows what he does the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, he came out of the gate on fire, and if he continues to do that, it's a domino effect. Who knows what effect that has on Woodland and all the rest? But he didn't do it, and he's fun to watch, and I hope that they continue to market him. Take away a little of the energy that they're putting into Tiger Woods when he's clearly out of it, and put it into Koepka, because he's fun to watch, and right now he's playing on fire. You know, and once again, the Tiger Woods machinery that wants to prop him up at all costs because there's money in it is celebrating that he had a good back nine after oh, crapping please. Out when he started. Okay, who gives a crap? You know, and he finished at minus two. So did countless other players as well. And now they're talking about, so he took that. That's going to be great momentum going into the British Open. Oh, please.
There's going to be no momentum. He's not even going to play between now and the British Open. Mitch, I was watching him this week, and there's a big Tiger fan friend of mine. And I said to him, that Masters is going to turn out to be Brigadoon, okay? It's like the little town that came to life every 100 years, okay? Yeah. Maybe he can gear his early year next year to playing Augusta, because that's the kind of course where you don't get penalized and for missing fairways. But he can't play courses like this anymore. I'm sorry. And I know he's got this conservative strategy, and he's not afraid to hit longer irons than everybody else. I don't know what Royal Port Rush is going to be like. But he was rusty going into the PGA. He's going to be rusty going into the British Open. And this idea that winning the Masters is going to now kickstart him to getting to 19 majors, no, it's not.
Well, it's worth mentioning that, as you pointed out, that Koepka had four rounds in the 60s and didn't win. He not only didn't win, he lost by three strokes. And the guy who won beat Tiger Woods' record by a stroke in the year 2000, when you remember Tiger Woods left everybody else. They might as well not have even come out on Sunday, right? And everyone thought, well, who's going to ever do that? Well, Gary Woodland just did it one better. Do you hear any fuss over Gary Woodland that way? Do you hear that kind of, crazy? No, of course not. People still be talking about Tiger Woods in 2000 instead of remembering Gary Woodland's score. That's how good what Gary Woodland did was, and that's how close Brooks Koepka came.
Hey, Mitch, how funny was Woodland talking about when he finally turned the page on college basketball?
Yeah.
And he was talking that he couldn't guard Kirk Heinrich, and he thinks, I got to find something else to do.
Yeah. Well, this guy has a really, I didn't know him before the tournament, but what an interesting story.
Oh my God.
In many cases, tragic, you know, from the loss of his twin
Nearly lost his dad.
I mean, his dad coded in a heart attack, and now his wife is pregnant with twins as he's out there playing again. And he's got a basketball player's mentality and a football player's mentality. So does Brooks Koepka. And they kind of look, they kind of suggest each
they
other. They don't look
they
alike,
do.
But they suggest each other. That kind of tight-lipped.
It's what Ryan Calzer reminds you of. They remind you of each other.
Especially with their hats on. They remind you that it could be like the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator, you know, on a football team. And, I hope that Woodland is around a little bit more than just this one flash here. I hope he becomes more of a fixture.
And Mitch, always look at how the other players react, okay? That little receiving line when he was coming off 18, when you saw the other players, this was a very popular victory yesterday. And again, where he did it, against whom he did it, in the biggest moment of his life with the lights brighter than they had ever been, when he hit the two best shots of his life. And my only quibble with Pebble Beach, as someone who loves golf, okay, I know how pretty it is, and I know what a great test of golf it is, and I know it's a second shot course. I don't think, Mitch, you should be able to leave your driver in the bag as often as they do at Pebble Beach and consider that the truest possible test of golf.
Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is, you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. You got extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do that you do today. And before we go to our parting shots, just a quick nod to the Women's World Cup, where apparently the biggest story is how our American women celebrate. Yeah. So in the first game, they celebrated too much. So in the second win, which was only 3-0 as compared to 13-0, they started doing little golf claps after they scored their a goal to say, well, you don't want us to celebrate too much. Fine, we'll just pretend like we're golfing. We'll just...
Yeah, but you know what? Nice. Let me say this. I love this team. I want them to win. It's just extraordinary that they can do what they do on their side of the sport and men can't. But they got to give it up on the way they reacted to beating Thailand 62-0. Okay, and spare
might as well
me
have been 62-0.
And spare me this notion that men wouldn't have been gotten jumped for doing the same thing. Yeah, they would have. Don't have rabbit ears. Go win the World Cup. The whole country will root for you. But give it up on social media about how you're being viewed for your celebrations.
Isn't it interesting that the women's soccer team in America over the years has had more issues about attitude and approach and more controversy than the men's teams ever had combined? I don't know if that's scrutiny. I don't know if that just happens to be the personalities. I don't know if they're you need that kind of swagger to win a World Cup. I don't know, but we seem to be hearing that story frequently. But they are, look, they're good, and you can't have everything. We complain about we don't want to watch the men's World Cup because Americans suck at it. Okay, here's a women's World Cup. The women don't suck at it. They're really good and they're likely to win it. So you're going to have to take some things with it. Anyhow, let's go to our parting shots. Why don't you lead us off, Mike?
And one more thing on the women, Mitch, before I do my parting shot. Pay them what the men are paying and everybody move along. Okay.
Now, parting shots.
Anthony Davis turned 26 in March. Kawhi Leonard is still just 27, about to turn 28. Davis, obviously, as we've discussed today, has a world of talent, but he's off the board now, and Leonard is still on it. And the difference between Leonard and Anthony Davis, despite all the giddiness about Davis going to play with LeBron at the Staples Center, is that Leonard has already proven himself to be the kind of transformative NBA player that we once thought Anthony Davis was going to be. MVP of the finals with the Spurs. And not only is he once again the MVP of the finals with the Raptors, he just carried them, as we just said, to one of the most dramatic titles in the history of his sport. Yeah, and he's about to become a free agent. And who knows, he might be on his way to the Staples Center to play for the Lakers or the Clips. But is it not interesting how fast we flip these stories in sports? We spent the whole season obsessing about where Davis might go and where Kevin Durant might go. But it was Kawhi who ended up being the best player in the league and its biggest star at the end. And imagine what he does to the narrative in the NBA when he finally does decide where he's going next.
I'm not one who goes looking for signs that the world is about to end. But O.J. Simpson joining Twitter may be one of them. The 71-year-old one-time football star made the announcement last week saying he was joining Twitter, the social media platform, because, quote, I've got a little getting even to do. Now, lest we forget, Simpson was accused of murdering his wife Nicole and her friend Ron Goldman, presumably because he had some getting even to do. The belief was Simpson was jealous of his wife's social life, and we'll likely never know if that led him to murder or not. But given that backdrop, I got a little getting even to do is one of the creepiest intros to Twitter ever. What prompts Simpson to go even more public after a long stint in jail for another charge is a mystery to me. But it's part of the weird and creepy persona of this one-time American hero. He seemingly can't stay out of the spotlight as long as he gets to control the narrative. Twitter, as everyone from the president on down has proven, is the ultimate place to control your narrative. We can only hope OJ's getting even remark will be as forgotten as his football career now is. That's going to wrap things up for today's edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast. We do this every Monday and Thursday. You can get it on all the popular platforms, including iTunes and Stitcher. And tell your friends about it and leave us a comment if you like. We always welcome those. We'll be back here on Thursday to do it all over again. Until then, on behalf of Mike Lupica, this is Mitch Albom saying have a great week.